Hi, Dan Sheridan here, telling America's story. This is lesson 21 in our series, and it's time to meet the Native Americans. We finally got there. Now, we're going to go over some ground we've already covered to start this lesson, so please be patient with me. You know, it's good sometimes to have something repeated. That way it sticks with us. All right, let's get started. First of all, look at a map of the world. If you got one handy, take a look at it. If you don't have one handy, press pause and go find one, if you can. If not, just pay attention to the lesson. Now, if you have your map, put your finger on Western Europe. Say, Spain. Let's start there. Now, take your finger and run it across the map westward. And don't stop until you get to Japan. That's right, cross right over North and South America. Pretend it isn't there. Now that you've done that, pretend that that whole area of North and South America disappeared from the map and was replaced with blue ocean water. This is exactly what the Europeans in the time of Columbus thought the world looked like. The only exception being they thought the distance between Western Europe and Japan was about the same distance between Western Europe and the eastern shores of the United States. They had no idea that there was a whole continent between the western shores of Europe and the eastern shores of Asia. Now, imagine you're Columbus. You're planning on sailing west and landing on the shores of Asia, and say like Japan, that's where he thought he might have landed. And now imagine, after sailing a long and dangerous journey, you finally find land. What do you think this land is you've discovered? Well, that's right, it's Asia. You thought it would have been Asia. And that's exactly what Columbus thought. He thought he had reached the eastern shores of Asia. Now, still pretending you're Columbus and you think you've landed in Eastern Asia, a land known as the Indies. So you get there, you think you're in the Indies, and you meet the natives. Who do you think they are? That's right, you think they're Indians. When Columbus met the natives, he called them Indians, thinking they were inhabitants of India, and the name stuck. You know, I have friends who are rarely called by their true name because of a nickname they were given when they were kids. It's not their real name. And same with the Indians. The Indians aren't really Indians. It was just a name that was given to them, and the name stuck, even though it was wrongfully applied to them. Now, what do you think is a more accurate name for the Indians? Something to think about. The Indians were here long before Columbus came. They were spread out all over North and South America. They have cinnamon-colored skin, high cheekbones, black hair, and dark eyes with little or no facial hair. Now, historians use words like savage and barbarous to describe them. But historian Will Durant says we should be careful about using those terms. For, as he wrote, in calling other human beings savage or barbarous, we may be expressing no objective fact, but only our fierce fondness for ourselves and our own timid shyness in the presence of alien ways. Well, Durant makes a valid point. We too often view those different from us as inferior, and I think we should dispense with words like savage and barbarous. The fact is, Native Americans could teach us a whole lot about hospitality and kindness. Now, Benjamin Franklin talked about this European habit of describing the Indians as savages. Here's what he wrote. Savages we call them because their manners differ from ours, which we think the perfection of civility. They think the same of theirs. I can see Uncle Ben smirking as he wrote that statement. Now, keep this in mind when considering the Indians. They didn't have domesticated animals like the Europeans. That means no horses, cows, donkeys, goats, sheep, or pigs. These animals are essential to a highly developed civilization. Without them, man is destined to live off hunting to survive. And that means all of his brain power is focused on how to survive. There's little or no time to think and write under such circumstances. It's when people learn how to cultivate land that they find time to be, quote, civilized. And that's because agriculture produces enough food to store away for the future. And so that gives man time to think. Now imagine what your life would be like if you had to hunt for your food every day. How many books would you be able to write? How much time would you have to sit and think and write and invent things? You probably wouldn't come up with much, would you? Well, Will Durant says this. He said, preferably, we shall call primitive all tribes that make little or no provision for unproductive days and little or no use of writing. I think primitive is a better word. In contrast, the civilized may be defined as literate providers. Those are the words of Will Durant. So we should dispense with words like savage or barbarous when seeking to define a whole race of people. After all, our European ancestors, as, quote, civilized as they were constantly involved in war and bloodshed. For crying out loud, they came up with inventions of torture to torture those who didn't agree with them on religious grounds. So we got to dispense with this word, savage and barbarous. Now, that's a lesson that should humble all of us. The ability to create cities, technologies, and books hasn't lessened the bloodshed. Now, civilization isn't about great or superior people. It's about favorable circumstances such as an adequate food and water supply, a good location for trade routes, and a good climate. Civilization flourishes when a people make the most of these favorable circumstances. But always remember that a thriving civilization with riches does not mean the people are better or superior who are not so well off. Now, the Indians, or Native Americans, have been identified by certain classes, and in our next lesson, we will talk about the different Indian groups at the time of the discovery and colonization of America. I hope this lesson's been helpful. I wanted to clear the ground right away and dispense with notions and ideas that have colored commentators and historians for a long time and has given us a false impression. They've given us a false impression about the Indians, and they've also given us false impressions about Europeans. So we have to approach this subject right off the bat with recognizing the principles we've just discussed in this lesson. Well, this is Dan Sheridan. That's all I have time for. I really hope you learned something. Until next time, remember this. Be good to one another because we're in this together. Have a great day.